Grab your Bible with me, if you will, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Would you have Proverbs, chapter 4, if you'd be so kind to stand with me? Reading of God's Word. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. You are appreciated. I'd like to read the first 11 verses of Proverbs chapter 4. We'll speak a bit more about it, but words of Solomon, the wisest man known to man. And the words, through inspiration that he had penned, concerning instructions that his father, King David, had handed down and taught him through the years. And in a desire for all to learn and understand, God inspired Solomon to write them on paper. Look at verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 4 with me this morning. The Bible says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to the knowledge, to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Wisdom, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ointment of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths." Words of Solomon as he reiterates and remembers teachings of his father that have obviously came from the Almighty Father. Instruction, nurturing, teaching, guiding, investing, promoting, delivering, executing. Solomon remembered back to the teachings of King David. A perfect man? No. A perfect king? No. A good one? But a father that taught, gave instruction, took the pitfalls and the downfalls of life, the teachings and learnings of those experiences, and embedded them into his son. Isn't that what a father's position is? Above all else. Isn't it one of the greatest things a father does? Pray with me this morning. Lord, this morning we do thank you for the time that we have to gather around your word. Lord, in America we celebrate this day as Father's Day. Again, Lord God, bringing recognition where recognition is due. Lord God, that which should be expressed and shown throughout the entirety of the year. But Lord, today, as we just take a little bit of time, Father, to cheer them on. For those who stood for right, Lord. For those teaching. guiding and instructing, providing and caring, investing. And Lord God, not just in responsibility, but Lord God, desiring to fulfill the responsibility of being a father. Lord, I pray your Spirit will work among us today as we bring honor to our fathers, as well as to thee, Lord God, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're being seated, flip back to chapter 1 with me. Flip back to chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. Follow with me closely. I want you to see the fulfillment of all of this as it begins to unfold. In verse 8 of chapter 1, the Bible says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." If you look in verse 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If you look down in verse 15, it says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." You look over in chapter 2 in verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." In chapter 3 in verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." In verse 11 of chapter 3, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Verse 21, chapter 3, "My son, let not depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion." In chapter 4, in verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Verse 20 of chapter 4, "My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings." In chapter 5 in verse 1, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." Back in chapter 23 in verse 15, the Bible says, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." It tells us in verse 19 of chapter 23, "Hear thou, O my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." It says in verse 26 of that same chapter, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." My son, hear this instruction. My son, remember this. My son, be cautious of this. My son, be aware of this. My son, walk this way. My son, act this way. My son, understand these teachings. My son, my son, my son. Hear the instructions of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6, the first 5 verses, the Bible says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." My son, let me teach you, my son. Allow me to do the work of a father. I'm not trying to be redundant this morning, nor am I trying to be simplistic by reading verses of God's word out of the compilement of Proverbs written by what is understood to be one of the wisest men to ever walk the face of the earth. What I'm trying to display is in his, Solomon's, writings, he takes time as inspired by God to pass on some of the greatest wisdom that mankind can exercise concerning the lessons of life. But what cannot be missed in this takeaway is Solomon addresses this task often by means of reiterating the life lessons in which his father David had taught him. Not long ago, actually this past Mother's Day, I was speaking to a gentleman of a church, and he mentioned jokingly to me that on Mother's Day, we many times go to church and the messages are exhorting and uplifting about godly mothers and hard work in the home and godly mothers' virtues and diligence and dedicated mothers' effect and the impact in the home. And listen, rightfully so, mothers ought to be honored. However, he said, when we men come to church on Father's Day, he says, it kind of seems like we get beat up. He said, we hear messages on how we need to be better, more godly fathers, how we need to be great leaders, both in our homes and in the world, that we must exist. He said, you know, many times we hear preacher messages on how we need to constantly be a great example to our children and our families, and how we need to provide for our own, how we need to hold good work ethic, how we need to be humble and submissive to the Lord. And all of these things are true, necessary, and very challenging. Yet, however, he said, one of the tendencies that have a tendency to happen. He said, preacher, we hear that on Father's Day, we begin feeling like we can't ever measure up. And sometimes we walk out of those services feeling a little beat up. To which I replied, oh, listen, did you get your little feelings hurt? No. Listen, I'm joking. That was not my reply. I took that to great heart. Because, gentlemen, you're appreciated. What you do for your homes, your families, for your faith, your guidance, your time investment, your hard work, your efforts, your teachings, your instructions, your nurturing. I say it's appreciated. And I don't want to ever display that's not good enough. Are you perfect, men? God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for purity. And in that response, understanding that they're helpful and needful expressions and traits of character for godly fathers and home leadership, the point this individual is trying to make in a humorous but even a serious way, friend, it was taken. And it's been a great deal of time pondering, validating it. So this morning on this Father's Day of 2026, I want to just do something that maybe is a little bit different. You say, what's that, preacher? I wanted to praise and uplift our fathers this morning rather than hammer on them to be better or maybe just continue to do what they're doing right with all diligence. Take time to lift them up for what they've done. Therefore, hopefully by encouragement, that they might walk out of here this morning with a great inspiration to, yes, continue to do what they're doing to make the difference in their homes, in their places of employment, in their quest to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Gentlemen, today I want all of us to pause by way of Sunday morning deliverance and say in a multitude of ways, thank you. I cheer you on. There's a reason I asked my daughter to sing that song. Because, gentlemen, this morning I want to take time to cheer you on. If I might have your attention for just a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach a message of appreciation and acknowledgement. A message I've titled, Fortunate Fathers, Finding the Father's Favor. Fortunate fathers finding the Father's favor. May I begin by saying this publicly this morning. thank you for what you do. Sincerely. Thank you for holding the torch high for the Lord and his principles. Thank you for the long hours of work to provide for your families. Thank you for your prayers and the hours of investment in your families, in your wives, to your children, to your church, and to your God. Listen, all the facetiousness set aside this morning, I just want to bid you a sincere thank you. And I'm not here this morning to beat up on you. I'm not here this morning to tell you you need to do better. I'm not here this morning to challenge you to be what you've been striving to be and maybe haven't raised up to what you feel the measure should be. I'm here to thank you for what you're doing. I'm here to show appreciation for what you've done. I'm here to encourage you to continue to do more. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you do. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for the grit, the determination, and the fortitude to continue on and do just that. Your church this morning, gentlemen, cheer you on. Cheer you on for your example. Sure, we are to be an example to our children. We're to be an example to our spouses. We're to be an example in the world around us. We're to be an example to those that don't know Christ, so that we can display an opportunity for them to understand their need of Christ. I mean, the Bible has given us visions of many great fathers who have provided examples, if you will. Some fatherly traits and characters that I appreciate you emulating this morning in a manner in which you do. Think of Adam, for starters. I mean, Adam is known as obviously the federal head of mankind that sinned and brought sin into the world, yes? And although, yes, that is true, Adam did fall as the federal head of all man. But if we take time to look beyond his fault, there are some great fatherly and godly traits that many of you have, and again, emulate, that we see in Adam. You say, how in the world is that, preacher? Listen, I have no doubt that in the very act of the first sin, Adam did not partake of that forbidden fruit because he had a churning desire to rebel against God. No, I believe with every ounce of my being that Adam knew once Eve had brought that fruit to him and realizing what she had done made a difficult choice. Why? Because he did not want to live without this love of his life that he had now found such endowed championship and companionship with. I don't believe for one moment Adam partook of the forbidden fruit because he wanted to rebel against the commandment of God. But he realized that he was about to ready to lose the love of his life that God had granted to him. Listen, was it a wrong choice? Well, we know it was. And without condoning it, friend, listen, I believe he did it out of the tremendous love and dedication to Eve, not rebellion to God. Gentlemen, that's a trait that many of you emulate. What, the companionship, the love, and the dedication to your wife? Amen? A home can't exist without it. A good quality relationship can't exist without it. And friend, I'm privileged to know and walk among some great men who without pomp and circumstance are faithful and steady, consistent in their dedication to their marriages, to their wives, And sir, that's a great exercise of example to all of us, drawn from an example of a biblical other. I mean, we could list Noah, Joseph, Mary's husband, Moses, David, King Asa, Joseph, Jacob's son. You could go down the list. Qualities of being a father. Were they perfect men? No. But they exercised great qualities of men to be an example to others that we even today as men and fathers are able to emulate, learning and understanding the teachings of the Word of God so that we can be the best we can be for our families. Daddy, thank you for your example this morning. May I once again say, I cheer you on. For the manner in which you've allowed many of these men of God throughout God's Word to be emulated examples in developing the character trait you exercise in dedication each and every day to most of us, most times to all of us. We think of this Father's Day, not just of that which you emulate, if you will, as example, but I think of education. You say education, preacher. Yes, I said education. Neighbor, I'm all about good education, and I'm very, very supportive of a practical higher learning and teaching. But friend, please hear me. There are certain traits of life, character, and strength that books and school and learning will never teach. Amen. Education is only a father to a son. A father expressing a tender heart and a softer side to a daughter. A patient and understanding husband to a spouse or an insecure wife. Only a man, only a father, only a husband in that manner can teach. It can't be learned from a book. Must be practiced. Skills of life that are needed to allow our children to grow and become productive and equip the individuals for what life will throw at them. They can read it in a book, but friend, until they see it exercised, they don't know how it works. The teachings of throwing a ball in the yard, mowing a lawn, changing oil in a car. Maybe how to fix a sink, brother. How to provide heat in the middle of a cold night when the furnace stops working. And watch this. There's no servicemen in the world coming out anytime soon. What do we do? Better wake daddy. Hey, education and fortitude to a young daughter learning how to ride a bike. Teaching them that very fortitude to keep getting back up and keep getting back on, even though you keep falling off. Ladies, we love you. Appreciate you, and you cannot be substituted. But a mama grabs her daughter and runs her into the house and cares for her boo-boo because she fell off the bike. But it's the father that says, baby, help. Let me help you up. Let me show you how to stand again. Let me show you how to get back on. Maybe let me teach you what fortitude is. You can't quit. It'll get easier as you learn, but you can't quit. We'll take care of the bruises. We'll take care of the badgering later. But baby, right now, you got to keep going. For that, Daddy, we thank you. I mean, these are character traits and operational skills. Daddies all around the world are teaching and educating their dependents with little monetary or tangible personal benefit rewards whatsoever. But listen, friend, that's not why they do it. Because your reward is seeing your children or your spouse or your protege for that matter, educated so they can survive in a cruel world and succeed while doing so. That's the heart of a father. Hey, Joseph taught Jesus to be a carpenter. Noah taught Ham, Shem, and Japheth how to build, how to prepare, and survive in some of the harshest conditions that the world could throw at them. David taught Solomon how to be a warrior in a very, very cruel world, all while he taught him honesty and leadership and wisdom. Daddy, please hear me this morning. Thank you. We cheer you on. Not just in your example. Not just in your education that you teach. But also in your execution. Not what you say as much as what you do. Church, these humanity traits of strength and fortitude, practicality and dedication, commitment, faith, sensibility, application. Listen, far too many qualities to list. I mean, are you perfect? Certainly not. But we know that you're not trying to be perfect. You're trying to be effective. And for that, we thank you. Because we don't need perfect. We need effectiveness. These teachings, this instruction, this providence, this oversight, this diligence, this dedication, again, can't be learned by reading a book. Must be taught. Must be practiced. It must be executed. When the days are long and the nights are short, gentlemen. When there's a scare of uncertainty running through the ranks of your house because the crisis has just hit and it's just so happened to settle in your couch. You're the one they look to. You're the one they need to strength from. When the storms of life, whether actual as the shingles blow off the house or inciting flaps in the wind, where the financial crisis has once again reared its ugly head, the steadiness, the strength, the pillar of comfort as your family and loved ones watch you stand firm upon the trust that God has taught you. The execution. Daddy, we cheer you on. Thank you for what you do. Listen, those cannot be taught by word. They must be executed and watched. My daughter sang the verse this morning. I won't go where my daddy is. Because they're watching. Gentlemen, in many, many cases, we're their heroes. Bless God, we may not get a second chance at this. Thank you for what you do. And as we cheer you on, please keep doing it. Neighbor Solomon wrote, Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He wrote, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. David learned that the hard way, didn't he? He's trying to teach his son the easy way. Proverbs 4 and verse 10 says, hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. He wants him to succeed. He's looking for longevity in right. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Solomon, that'll ruin you. It did. This particular instruction Solomon did not listen to, and it changed every generation for the Jewish people to follow. Every generation. Today, it has influence on what Solomon did not listen to. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, verse 3, I apologize, says, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Proverbs 19, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth the error from words of knowledge. Pay attention to truth, my son. It's needful. You start listening to a bunch of lies and a bunch of jibber-jabber, it hurts you. Stay focused. Learn truth. You don't have to learn what every lie is. You just have to learn truth so you can identify what a lie is. Proverbs 24, 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, these are godly instructions. Miss Judy, they're godly instructions being given in an inerrant word of the living God. But where did Solomon learn them? He learned them from the instructions and the teachings of a father whom he watched execute them. David spent a lot of time teaching lessons that unfortunately David had to learn the hard way. Daddy, there's no impact in instructions concerning the ways of life and wisdom if there's no execution for the instructee to see. May I say it once again? There's no impact in instructions concerning the ways of life or wisdom if there's no execution for the instructee to see. Some of you remember years ago I preached a message I titled, They Will Be What They See. Friend, listen this morning. Daddies especially. They will be what they see. We can't be one thing and tell them to do something different. It won't work. It's never worked. And for all of those who are willing to execute what needs to be done for right, while they do right, I cheer you on. Thank you for what you do. For your execution of these teachable traits of life and character, of strength and manliness. I said manliness to our sons. I said manliness to our sons. Teaching a child or a son how to work. Amen. For compassion and understanding, for, watch this, fidelity and fortitude. For steadiness and stability. Daddy, I cheer you on. You can't expect your son to raise a family of a loving home and wonderful children if the only ever thing he has seen is a daddy that coming in from the bars and cheating on mama. Can't ever expect a son or a daughter, for that matter, to know how to go out and work. We have a crisis in our America. Friend, our younger generation don't know how to work. They don't know how to work because some daddies along the way that decided they weren't going to do things right started teaching them how not to. We're raising a literal generation dependent upon a government, depending upon giveaways, to the point where now we've raised a generation of entitlement because of it. All because there were some daddies that didn't want to take the time to teach some children how to work. You have an effect. What you do makes a difference. Our society will be lost totally, and it already is at a loss when there are not more like you. We must continue to stay with teaching right. We teach right by executing it, by doing right. It's been long said, you want to see how a son will treat his wife? Watch how he treats his mother. Where do they learn that? Amen. Where do they learn that? We will never succeed in doing one thing and trying to teach another. What we teach and what we instruct must be executed first, because they learn by watching far greater than they do by listening. It's simple this morning. I'm not here to be long, not here to be long drawn out. And I didn't come this morning to teach a deep theological lesson. I just simply came this morning to thank you and to let you know that if I beat up on you, I'm just trying to challenge you to be better at what you do. But it doesn't for one moment mean that I don't appreciate what you already do. We can't survive without it. It's that important. I said we cannot survive without it. It is that important. Fortunate fathers, finding the Father's favor. I've long thought that this is what God had in mind when He chose you. The manner in which He taught you to steward that which He's given you. To find favor in who He is in you. Your example. Your education. Your execution. Fathers will cheer you on. A father's hand may carry scars from a long, hard days of silent wars. From holding burdens, standing strong, still praying even when hope feels gone. God sees the weight a father bears, the hidden tears, the whispered prayers, the nights he stayed, the dreams he laid all aside so his family would not be afraid. A father's love reflects God's own, steady, faithful, fiercely known. Not perfect, no, but deeply true, a love that keeps showing continually through. God walks beside the weary man who wonders if he's enough to stand. And heaven smiles when fathers choose to love like Christ in all they do. For every lesson softly taught, every battle bravely fought, every time he gave his best while carrying pain inside his own chest, God was there in every part, strengthening a father's heart. Because the world may never see how scared even a father can be. So to the fathers trying still through broken roads and uphill hills, may you remember day by day, God's love for you will never fade. When your children speak your name, may they see grace more than fame. For the greatest gift the father can do is show his children the heart of you. Happy Father's Day. Let's stand this morning. Fortunate fathers finding a father's favor. As our piano player makes her way to the piano this morning, we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed on this Father's Day morning. I know that I don't look across a sea of perfect men. But perfection's not the goal. Steadiness. Character. Fortitude. Investment. Godliness. Uprightness. Honesty. Fidelity. Church, the things that a book can't teach. We don't need men with PhDs in education. We'll leave that to higher learning. What we need is men like you, with a workman's PhD. Able to take God's word and allow God to teach and learn from, so that we're able to teach our children that come thereafter. This piano begins to play softly this morning. I wonder today, when's the last time you bowed a knee and thanked an almighty God for your father? You say, well, my father is gone, preacher. His teachings are. You're a product of his investment. I wonder how many men would be willing to bow a knee and say, Lord God Almighty, thank you for being patient with me, teaching me so that I'm able to teach others. Lord God, for showing me the responsibility and the fulfillment that I invest in my family. Heavenly Father, I couldn't do it without you. I wouldn't want to try. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a nation approaching our 250th birthday. Still the greatest nation in the face of the planet. But so many men, so many fathers, have walked away from that which I cheer you on for this morning. And just didn't feel that you needed a badgering this morning to how you have to do better. Maybe a time of appreciation and acknowledgement for what you've already been doing so well. Stay true. Stay focused. Lead. Teach. Instruct. Provide. Work hard. Let's teach them how to work hard. Let's be tender-hearted enough to take our little girl in our arms. Say, don't worry, the monsters won't get you tonight, baby. Daddy's here. I wonder, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If today you would draw that last breath here on this earth, Will you go to your Heavenly Father? Do you know and why? Salvation's an amazing thing. It's one of the greatest things that our Heavenly Father has granted and gifted to us. He did that but by one way. Jesus Christ. By sending His Son, who had to be literally slaughtered and mutilated upon a cross of Calvary, all while God the Father and the Holy Ghost left Him to pay the penalty for our sin, because that price was separation. And as He hung upon that cross alone, only to be buried and raised again the third day to prove to hell and all the world that He was exactly who He said He was, rise to the Father in the order of the high priest Melchizedek to give the precious shed blood that had the power to cover, to cleanse, and to save. Is that where your trust for eternity is this morning? Because if it is not, eternity will be shared in a place in which you do not want to be. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you live forever in eternity of heaven? If you're here this morning and you're a little concerned about that question, you don't realize that the Word of God takes time to explain specifically and in detail how we can know, I'd like to provide an ample opportunity today by simply slipping up your hand high enough for me to see. There's nobody looking around. Nobody going to call you out and embarrass you. I just love to take the Word of God and show anyone who does not know God's blessed promises of eternity through Jesus Christ. Is there one this morning who would say, "Preacher, I'm a little concerned about that"? Is there one? And on this Father's Day, to all of our fathers, cheer you on. And to all of us as we walk in the Spirit of the living God, may He be honored by the representation in which we give. In Jesus' name, amen.